I'm Alex.
And I'm Rob.
I'm from Novi Sad, Serbia.
And I'm from New York. Alex and I started dating after meeting on a German cruise ship where we were entertainers.
And now we are in a long-distance relationship.
Until we can be together again, we decided to start a podcast.
We may come from different backgrounds, but that's exactly what keeps the conversation going for hours.
We can't wait for you to listen to this episode.
So sit back and enjoy.
Because we have a lot to talk about.
On today's show, we have Nwando Ekwani, aka The Americanka, whose YouTube channel is enjoyed by all expats and Balkan people alike. On her channel, Nwando bridges the gap between the Balkans and the English-speaking world by comparing and contrasting different cultures and guiding her viewers through the beautiful life in the Balkans. So, Nwando, welcome.
Thank you.
We're so excited to have you on today. And I guess we'll just start with, like, what gave you the travel bug? What, like, started your journey into where you are now?
Okay. Well, who am I? Do I have to start as early as, like, when I was born and what I did when I was five?
No. You were born as very young. Yeah. Whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Maryland, USA. I grew up in a suburb that's kind of in between Washington, D.C., and the capital of Maryland, which is Baltimore. And I really liked where I grew up because it was very multicultural. Did I say it was called Columbia? It's called Columbia, which maybe I already said that, but I don't remember.
Okay.
But the suburb was designed to be a multicultural town. Like, the person who created the town, I think his name was James Rouse. He specifically created it for, you know, like, immigrant families and families who, I don't know, didn't have generational wealth and all of these things to all come to this area of Maryland. And I feel like because of growing up in Colombia, I had so many friends who were like Pakistani American and Macedonian American and Indian American and Iranian American. It was just such a cool place to grow up. And then eventually I went to university in an American university, which is in Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. is just such an amazing place because it's not a huge city, so you just meet so many people, and it's so international. I think a lot of people think New York is, like, the most international place ever. Washington, D.C. is the most international place ever, and so a lot of my friends traveled, but I didn't really get into traveling until I was in my mid-ish 20s because I just actually wasn't someone who traveled growing up. Like, I would go traveling with my parents, which I appreciated about them. Like, even when we didn't have lots of money, they would always take us traveling to other places in the United States, like Las Vegas, California, Utah, things like that, Arizona. So, but I didn't get into traveling abroad until basically I took a break from university. I was like a super senior, so I didn't graduate on time. And I just reached this point where I just took a break because I have epilepsy, not to play the swan song, the sad music. But I was just going through a lot with that at the time. So I was like, Mom, Dad, please, like, I need to take a break. And they kind of reluctantly let me take a break. And in that time, I got into, like, music and eventually traveling.
Great. So you went to first to Australia and then you ended up, let's say, in Belgrade, right? How did that come about?
Yeah, so I lived in Australia for a year. This is in 2010. Before that, I had never traveled, and I basically moved there because I had a boyfriend who was going to university there. And so basically I moved there to be with him. But I was, like, really not knowing what I was doing. I had never lived alone before. I was a really financially irresponsible person. And so while I was there, like, I had all these friends that were, like, going to Bali on the weekends and going to Thailand. And I was, like, constantly broke. And I felt like that experience, like, really, I had to grow up really fast. I was so used to, like, relying on my parents. And I literally had to sink or swim living there. And, like, the first 4 months I was, like, sinking, and then I started being able to swim. And then when I returned to the U.S. The next year, because I was on a working holiday visa in Australia, so you can only stay for up to a year, But basically, when I returned to the United States, I was like, man, I need to keep traveling. And I learned so much from my mistakes in Australia and how much I didn't do all the things I wanted to do. I didn't even go to the Australian freaking Open. And I'm the hugest tennis fan ever. I was so angry at myself. Oh. I'm still angry at myself now. So after that, like that's when I was like really hit with the travel bug. And the next year I actually solo backpacked in Central America, which I love so much. It's the other region that I love so much outside of the Balkans. But yeah, that was in 2012. So I started traveling to the Balkans in 2015. But Central America, mm-hmm. backpacking there solo was like what really kicked off like Wanda is a solo traveler part of my life.
Yeah.
So what about the Balkans like made you pivot to that area?
Yeah, after Central America, I fell in love with backpacking and solo traveling. And I went back to school after that. I was in school for another couple of years. Let's see, it was between 2013, well, technically 2012 and 2014, I went back to school. And then the next year, I was just like craving a solo backpacking adventure again. And yeah, but I didn't want to go to just like typical places that are marketed to American travelers because I just loved that Central America experience. And so part of me going to the Balkans was I decided to take a trip in 2015 in December. And so I went to a bunch of places that I felt like weren't super touristy or just at least in that time of year aren't super touristy. So I went to Spain, which is super touristy, but at that time of year, yeah, it's like, that's super touristy. But in December, it wasn't like super touristy. And I went to Russia, I went to Morocco, Egypt, Greece, and then I went to Macedonia, Kosovo, and Serbia. And I just always had this interest in the Balkans before that, like when I was in university, when I was a super senior, as I said before, like, yeah, I was a journalism major, but when I was taking too long to graduate because I was going through my health issues and stuff, my mom and I were like, you know, let's just find you like the fastest major to graduate, which was history. You needed the fewest amount of credits to graduate for that. So I changed my major to history for like a year and then I took my break. But in that year, I did all of my research on former Yugoslavia. I don't even know why. We just had like a, we just had like a table of books that you had to choose for like your research papers. And I don't know, I saw this book about Bosnia and I was just like, I'm doing that one. I think because subconsciously it being on the news all the time when I was young, being a kid who grew up in the 90s, it was just kind of subconsciously like still in my system or something. So I always had this like weird, like it wasn't so conscious, but I always had this kind of subconscious interest in the region. So fast forward back to 2015, basically I was like, oh, I should check out the Balkans for this trip that I'm going on to all of these countries. And yeah, I just fell in love. What's not to fall in love with?
So when did you decide actually to like move here? So that was the like the first trip, I guess, that like Greece, Greece, then Serbia, eventually Macedonia. And did you get back to US then and decided to get back to Serbia eventually or after that?
Yeah, so that was 2015 that I went on that trip. And then I came back to the United States in like January of 2016, and then I took another trip to the Balkans in July/August of 2016, and that trip I went to Albania, Montenegro, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Croatia, and I was just like, I just fell in love. Like summer in the Balkans is, it's like walking along a street filled with unicorns and dandelions floating through the air, and rainbow sprinkles and magic fairy dust. Like it was just so freaking epic and lovely and magical and whimsical. And I was just like, oh my God, I have to live here. Like that was just such a fun trip. Not that the winter trip wasn't fun, like it was so fun, but summer is so freaking epic in the Balkans.
Oh yeah, so after the trip you like the timeline was like yeah that you moved after that second visit, right?
So I got home from that trip at the end of August 2016, and September, like, oh my God, I literally felt like the Balkans was my boyfriend, and he was living in the Balkans, and I was in the United States, and I was like without him, and I was thinking about him every day, and I missed him, and I missed walking through the streets with him. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't live without him anymore. The Balkans, I love you. Like, I'm coming for you. And so I made a plan to be living in the Balkans the next year by August. Yeah, August 2017. My plan wasn't to move to Belgrade. I was trying to decide between Skopje, Belgrade, and Zagreb, really. And it ended up being Belgrade just because of a lot of logistical reasons.
So kind of transitioning to your YouTube channel, I have, well, a basic question I have is which came first, the chicken or the egg, the blog or the YouTube channel? But also, like, how did that part of your I guess in a way it's a career or at least a very strong hobby.
Very strong hobby still.
How did that come to fruition? I mean, from 2015 to now, like, how did that happen?
So the YouTube channel came first. And basically, I just always loved the internet when I was growing up. When I was 14, I had websites. I was always into websites and creating content online. And this was in the 90s, so this is like before Google was even a thing. You guys might be too young to remember this, but the
I think I
major,
remember it, yeah.
okay.
I just look young.
Are you in your 20s or your 30s? You guys are in your 20s, right?
She's in.
He's 34.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I know what you're talking about. Like I saw world without the internet and I saw the world with like Google was nothing important, yeah.
Do you remember Alta Vista?
No.
Okay, I'm sure you remember Yahoo, of course.
Yes, I wanted to say like, but I remember the time when I searched everything on Yahoo, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's so weird. But yeah, like I was making websites back when Yahoo and Alta Vista, which is for dinosaurs like me to remember, not you young people. But yeah, I was always making websites. So I just always had this love for creating community online with content. And so when YouTube rolled around, I, like, even in nine, sorry, 1998, even in 2008, I had a YouTube channel, but it was like a music YouTube channel. And then I had, yeah, so yeah, I had a music YouTube channel. And then stupidly, like, when Gmail and YouTube merged, I like deleted that email because I was trying to prevent my ex-boyfriend from contacting me, and I had no idea that it would delete the YouTube channel as well, and I'm so
Oh,
freaking
man.
angry about that. But basically, yeah, I just always was into creating content online. So to fast forward and actually answer your question, sorry, but I started the YouTube channel because I just saw other travel bloggers, and I noticed that a lot of people weren't creating content about traveling in Albania and Serbia and at the time Croatia. Well, Croatia was getting more content in 2016, but still not that much. So anyway, I just noticed that there was like an opening essentially to create content about these places, and I was like, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, that's great. What's your like when you moved to Serbia? Like obviously you've been here like two times before, but did you have some new like surprises when you actually started like living here? I mean like culturally or like with people. What was your as somebody like foreigner living in here in Belgrade?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, I don't know if it's a surprise. I think honestly the biggest surprise is how much I kind of underestimated, Like, I love Serbia, I love the Balkans, but I feel like I kind of underestimated how much I wouldn't be like completely compatible with such like a homogenous society. Like a lot of people here are the same religion and they're the same, they have similar names and look the same, and there just really isn't a lot of diversity. And I don't just mean like ethnic diversity, but even like diversity of religion, diversity
Idea.
of ideas, yeah, diversity of like, you know, yeah, even like philosophies or perspectives. I don't know, I just feel like like I love it here and I enjoy being here. I've definitely realized that coming from a place like the Washington, D.C. area, I don't know that I'm completely compatible with being here like all year round. I would love to be more back and forth between the US and the Balkans. And it's like, it's not that the Balkans did anything wrong. I just realized about me how much I maybe took for granted where I'm from, basically. But I don't want to live there either. So this is why I'm like, yeah, I just feel like I need to be back and forth between the two. And COVID kind of screwed with that, unfortunately. But I'm alive and we're alive, and that's the most important thing.
Were you able to go back home at all?
Yeah, I went back home in, I went back home twice in 2019.
So that does that mean that you're going to like not live here for the like in the future, I guess, in Serbia, I mean. Or that's something that you did not decided
No, it's, I've decided.
yet?
I mean, I know that I'm not gonna live here like the rest of my life. I'm not done with the Balkans. I'm not done spending time here, and I want to create so much more content about traveling in the Balkans specifically. But my goal with the next few years is to just be more back and forth between here and the US.
What's some of like the biggest, I know you have some videos on this and you've written about this, but just to, I guess, reiterate to our listeners, if they haven't gotten a chance to listen to your content or read your content, what do you find is like one of the major differences, specifically within Serbia, within Belgrade, where you're living, in terms of like the biggest cultural differences between the DC area and where you grew up? Because I will say the DC area, it is such a unique area to the United States, because as you said, it really is not only just a multicultural place, but like exactly what you had said about the ideas. I mean, you have the two most extreme political groups all in one like general area. So like what's something that you found in Serbia that is so different from your culture?
I think one of the biggest differences that's positive is I really, really appreciate how people here, they have a life outside of the 9 to 5 Monday to Friday work day. Like people always make time for their friends. People always do things after work. People that I'm friends with, if they want to meet up with me, they're like, "Oh, are you free Wednesday evening? Are you free Thursday afternoon?" And it's, I'm always like, "Oh, I'm at work." But it just seems like people here are just like always making plans to see their friends. They're always making time for the people in their lives. And I feel like in the United States, it's this culture of like you live for the weekends. Monday through Friday is really annoying and miserable. You go home, you drink a glass of wine or a bottle, and then the weekend is when you,
Restart.
yes, and the weekend is when you like, that's when you have a life, you know. But I like that here, people have a life every single day.
That's interesting, yeah. I think also you have like on the channel you have some great perspectives like about like girls in Balkans, like about their like looks and misconceptions about like other YouTubers and stuff. So it was like interesting to me to like, I think you have a good perspective. I'm okay with like different perspectives. It's okay. Like we cannot view ourselves like from outside. So somebody who is from like looking outside is like going to like give us a different view on that this same issue, right?
Yeah, I appreciate the positive feedback.
Do you have a lot of positive feedbacks, or you also have a negative feedbacks, I suspect?
It's mostly positive, but it's always so weird to me, like, which videos people get really angry at. Like, I have it's so weird. Like, okay, well, I have some videos about Croatia and Albania, and those will get, like, the most dislikes by Serbs, so I understand that, and most of my followers are Serbs. But, like, I have a video called 10 Culture Shocks of Serbia, and it's only, like, a silly video. I'm like, I see Serbs eating with a fork and a knife pizza in a restaurant, and there's all these angry people that are like, people don't eat with a fork and a knife, you freaking idiot, you dumb American, go back to America. And I'm like, oh my god, dude, chill out. Really, there's 2,000 dislikes on this video and all these mean comments because I talked about a freaking pizza. Chill the F out. Like, it's so bizarre. That's the dumbest, most silly video, and people just took it so seriously. It's weird.
That's amazing. It's like, sure, if you want to give us a political take, we'll listen, but if it has to do with pizza, we just can't.
That's so really bizarre. Funny, actually.
So I actually didn't realize that you had been to South America. I knew that you had been to Australia from reading your blog, but it's, so what is one of, like, what would be, like, your top advice for people, you know, like, coming out of this pandemic, people are going to want to start traveling again. What is your biggest advice for people who have never traveled before or who are scared to travel, and how they can, you know, find that confidence to just go for it and even, like, have an independent aspect like you did?
Yeah, the biggest advice is there's so many blogs at this point. There's so many YouTube channels. So if you're wondering, because the trip I did, I went from Guatemala to Panama and I visited a bunch of the countries in between. It took me a month of doing that, going from top of Guatemala to South Panama. And I was like, oh my God, this might be intense. I've never done this before. But there was this YouTuber, and this was back in like 2010, I think, that he uploaded this series where he did the same trip. He started in Mexico and he worked his way all the way down to Panama or Colombia or something. And he made this whole series about it. And that was in like 2010 that he made that. So by the time I went at the end of 2012, I watched his experience and I was like, okay, yeah, I got this. Like, he went here, he went there. He was like, stay away from this city, it's maybe too dangerous. And so I just feel like if anyone is overwhelmed or they're intimidated traveling alone, there's just so much content on YouTube and blogs. Yeah. And the other thing that I will say, if someone wants to travel alone for the first time, I know that it might be intimidating traveling alone, but there's just so many benefits of traveling alone. And I think the two biggest ones are, one, you don't have to like compromise your time or what you want to see or your schedule with other people. Mm-hmm. It's like you're literally free to just do whatever you want. If you want to go to that bar because you met some guy earlier and you want to like make out with him, and you, if you were traveling with a friend, she'd probably be like, ew, he was gross. Why should we go there? Let's go to like the museum. It's like you can literally do whatever the hell you want. And I freaking love that. And the other, it's the best. And the other, wait, where did you guys meet again?
We met in a weird circumstance. We were working on a cruise ship, a German cruise ship together. And he was a drummer and I was a performer.
Oh, that's fun. You guys were in, were you in the band together?
No, I was.
He was in the band and I was in like the like more theatrical shows.
Yeah, she was like in the theater. I was in a band. We were like together in like a entertainment department. So we were like not like, but we were co-workers. But she used to perform in the theater, but I did so like separate thing. But yeah, we were like,
and for both of us at different times, because he started way before me, but the being on a cruise is our first big travel, like multiple cities type travel experience that we ever did separately, of course, and then eventually we met working together.
Well, yeah. That's why I asked, because that proves my case, the power of traveling. It's like, you never know when you're going to meet that cute boy or that hot girl.
Yeah, I can relate with the thing that you said for like a traveling alone. You have if you're traveling with somebody, there is always like, that's like for going out also. Like you always have that annoying one guy or girl, whatever, that are telling you like, no, I don't really want to do this. I don't. So you know the exit festival that we have in Novi Sad, right?
Yeah, which I've still never been to, idiot.
Oh, okay. yeah, and it was canceled last year. Yeah, okay. There is time, hopefully. So for that, I went like 5 or 6 times. And just first time I went with like friend, and every other time that I went, like every other year that I went, I always went alone. Towards the end of the first day, I was not alone. People were like coming to me, that was like some karmic thing or whatever. I was not alone, but I acted like a soloist. So first time when I went, I realized like, okay, there is like a 15 stages or something, and always somebody will be like, I don't want to go to that stage, I don't like that band.
Yeah.
And I like to go all over the place. So I always went alone because it was like...
I think in a lot of cultures, they encourage you to like make sure you travel with other... I would say like England is one of the only countries that really tells like, quote, children, like 17-year-olds, like, take a gap year, go somewhere crazy.
Yeah.
Really from when I'm racking my brain for like... cultures that like tell young that's people true. To travel, like that's one of the only ones I can think of, because most of the time it's like, always travel with somebody because you don't know what you're doing. But as you said, there's people who have done it before, so if you're worried, you have like all these resources that you can even just straight up copy somebody.
Exactly. Yeah, and the other point which you reminded me of talking about the exit festival is, yeah, you just always meet people. And when you're in another country, people will just talk to you. They'll see that you're physically not from the place, or they'll hear your accent and they'll be like, oh, where are you from? And people just start talking to you. So that's another cool thing about traveling alone. You'll meet people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. And like, it's not definitely for like for everybody. Not everybody is going to like either travel or like, let's say like me, it's not like super special, but I went alone to the festival, but like, it's not for everybody. Not everybody would be comfortable like going, especially like on the travel like you did, but I think it has benefits. Yeah.
Very true.
So what can we look forward to on your channel coming up? You don't have to give us all the secrets, but
what's next?
Any project that you're really excited about?
Well, I plan to start traveling more in the Balkans starting in April. So I'm really excited about that. I want to get back to what my channel was in the beginning, which was more about traveling and making more content about the Balkans as a region. So that's my goal this year. I really just want to especially just hang out more by the Adriatic Sea. It's so pretty. And after being locked up in quarantine last year in a landlocked country like Serbia, I just want to like enjoy the sea. So that's my goal.
Great.
You're not the only one missing the sea.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on. We have a lot to talk about. We definitely talked about a lot today. It was really awesome.
Thank you for having me.
It was an interesting experience. Thank you for saying yes to this interview, and thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you. I appreciate so much you guys inviting me to do this. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of We Have a Lot to Talk About. We have new episodes coming out every Monday on most podcast platforms and on YouTube as well. And don't forget to subscribe, like, rate, and review us, as well as give us a follow on Instagram at We Have a Lot to Talk About Podcast. Talk to you next time.